Hi there, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Terrell Taylor, and today I wanted to talk about some ongoing research in the area of querying and storage of network traffic. This work was done in conjunction with Fabian Rose at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, as well as Scott Cool and John McHugh at RedJac. The title of the talk is Towards Efficient Querying of Compressed Network Payloads. We've seen a lot in the news lately that companies like Google, RSA, and Oak Ridge National Labs have kind of come under attack from hackers that are trying to sort of infiltrate the systems and steal privileged information. I guess if we can learn one thing from all of this is that if security conscious companies like these have these issues, that that any of our networks are basically under can be attacked at any time. And so we need really to try and create mechanisms where we can not only try and stop these attacks, but be able to find them after they've occurred. So really what we're trying to do in our area of research is try to figure out ways to help sort of that forensic analysis that the security analyst needs to take place after they figured out that an attack has occurred. And so this will likely take place during some sort of look at some sort of the different network traffic on the network is the way that they can do this, because the network traffic itself is essentially the DNA of everything that's gone on. And so, but some of that key information is actually in the payloads itself. And so what we want to be able to do is be able to query those payloads and get them back to the user, or the analyst, so that they can do their analysis very quickly and figure out what's going on and close those loopholes that have occurred. One of the key things that's sort of near and dear, I think, to security analysis is visualization. That's kind of one of my big areas that I enjoy. But if we can't get the data that we're up to the visualization tool to actually visualize, we can't visualization becomes useless. And so these types of frameworks that can enable us to analyze data quickly are very important. So our goal is to build an interactive query system for network traffic, which supports payload-based queries. And when I say interactive, the reason why we really want interactive is because oftentimes a security analyst really doesn't know what they're looking for until they found it. You might do one query, find something of interest, refine that query, keep refining it until you come down and find something of interest. And so we want. So because of that, if each of those queries take hours and hours and hours to do, then we're not going to get much done. So in terms of productivity, it's important to again get that information out quickly. Of course, there are significant challenges to doing this. We have the large volume of network traffic, billions of packets that are coming in. Network data itself has high dimensionality. We've got different protocols like HTTP can have hundreds or thousands of attributes, and we want to be able to go through those attributes and bring them out in an efficient, quick manner. And of course, payloads are heterogeneous. We've got things like DNS, HTTP, all of those that we want to be able to do queries across all of them. So we need something with a flexible structure. And so what we've done is sort of developed a system which using things like record aggregation, compression, and search technology to be able to get deep into these packets, get that information out, be able to conduct some pretty interesting analysis. Anybody who's done any network analysis has probably used a TCP dump or something like NetFlow. The idea here is basically that as data comes in off the network, it's stored raw directly onto disk. The advantage of doing this is, of course, it's write optimized in that the data can be saved basically at line speeds. But unfortunately, we take a hit when we do this when we're on the read, because every time we need to read, we have to parse and scan through each record. So this can be a very slow process. And so these are kind of what we call the scan and filter approach. A natural extension to this is the parallel scan and filter approach, where we might take those raw packets or the NetFlow and distribute them across a cluster of computers, and then do the queries on much smaller data sets in parallel to get more speed. Unfortunately, this can require significant computational resources. And really, from this aspect, what we're looking at is we want to look at what are some of the key bottlenecks to analyzing the data sort of at a single machine level, and then create something that can be distributed across a set of computers and scale up to larger forms. And of note, companies like Google, Facebook, and Twitter have come out with literature that talks about this idea that we can't just throw computational resources at the problem. We need to be able to organize the data. Organization is just as important. And so in sort of this idea of looking at network traffic, are there better ways that we can store, organize the data on disk to be able to pull it off? And then, of course, anybody who's tried sort of using relational databases to store packet payload information, they're very structured and rigid, which doesn't really work well with the heterogeneity of the protocols that we might want to store and analyze. So our approach is to build a low I/O bandwidth read-optimized storage and query framework using some of the following principles. First, we want to reduce the data footprints, and we'll do this through aggregation and compression. Next, we want to only touch the data that's relevant to the query, so we do this through partition level higher level indexing. Also, we want to be able to reduce the disk I/O, and so we do this through horizontal and vertical partitioning. And finally, we want to support the different various arbitrary application protocols that we might see, and so we can do this through flexible schemas. And so just to give sort of, before we delve out into some of the components of the system, we can go over some sort of a high-level view of how an analyst might conduct analysis of something. So for instance here, maybe we have an analyst who's seen in the network that a bunch of people in her company have gone and accessed some sort of malicious website. And so she might want to do a query on her on the DNS traffic to try to find out which source IPs actually went to that website. What the system will do is it will first locate the various data partitions that could contain the data or the information that she's looking for. And basically, a data partition is just a chunk of data. So it basically finds the chunks of data that could possibly match her query. And then going down into those partitions, we can locate the records within the partitions that will match her query, and then we return those records back to the user. So we'll just go quickly into some of the approach that we take. The first one is to reduce the data footprint. Akin to some of the existing technologies out there like NetFlow and Time Machine, which use mechanisms to try and reduce the number of records that are stored, we take a record aggregation approach on the packet payload traffic. And the idea here is that instead of storing the packets raw to disk, we aggregate them together into a single record, very similar to NetFlow. But we store the attributes in different ways depending on what they are. So for instance here, flow-based attributes like source IP, destination IP, source port, destination port, they basically see them on all packets. So they can be stored in a much more sort of rigid structure. And so we chose in here sort of a column-oriented store to do that. A column-oriented store stores each attribute in its own separate column. And the advantage of doing this is that we get this low bandwidth I/O access when we do a query on certain attributes, instead of having to load every attribute up at the same time. And this gives us some speed. And column-oriented data stores have what are called read-only bitmaps. I'm not going to go into great detail in them. There's lots of literature out there on them, and some references in the paper if you're interested. But essentially, they're very good. They can A, be built in real time, and B, they're very good at doing large multi-dimensional queries and getting results out quickly. So they're kind of perfect for what we're looking for. Now the payloads themselves are we store them a little bit differently because they can be sort of a very heterogeneous in their nature. And so instead of storing them in a very rigid structure, we store them in what we call payload summary objects. The idea here is that each protocol has a template that represents that protocol. And then basically as connections come in, packets come in, we do a deep packet inspection on the attributes and load up various objects with their attributes. And then those objects are flattened, stored in basically what's called a payload column. And we can, in this way, store various different objects in the same way. So for instance, here we have an HTTP object as well as a DNS payload object, and they both store essentially their own attributes, and they can be stored in the same column. And then we can essentially map a single record together by utilizing the column-oriented records with the payload objects and do queries on either side and combine them together and return the attributes back to the user. Another way that we reduce the data footprint is through compression. We actually use two forms of compression. The first form is a dictionary-based compression, noting that a lot of the popular protocols on the internet, for instance, like DNS and HTTP, have a lot of redundant fields in them that are seen. So for instance, DNS, a lot of people query for google.com, so that's, you'll see that millions and millions of times throughout a data set. So instead of storing that string all the way throughout, we store it as a much smaller integer and store that throughout. And this can actually give us quite a large compression ratio in the data we store, which can affect not only the size, but also the performance, as we'll see in the evaluation section. And then the second form of compression that we utilize is called basically a block-level compression, similar to something like gzip that you might use. In this way, we're essentially looking at redundancies across objects and using those redundancies to be able to essentially compress, using those patterns to compress the files themselves. For block compression, we use LZO, or the Lmpl, Ziv, and Oberhumer technique. The reason why we use this is that it can be done in real time, and it doesn't add any sort of overhead for querying, as we'll see later on. So next, we want to be able to reduce the disk I/O. The less disk I/O that we do, the quicker that we can retrieve results. And so the way that we do this is through partitioning of the data. Basically, the idea is that as connections expire and we aggregate them, we can then store them in a partition cache, which is basically a configurable size of these groups of records. And then once those partitions are filled up, we can write them to disk, generate the indices for them. And basically these partitions are then independent of one another as they're stored. The advantage of doing this is that if we have some mechanism that can tell us what is in those partitions, then we can select only the relevant partitions for the queries that we're trying to do. And so the advantage here is that we don't have to go through several bits of information or data that aren't going to help us in our query. And it also enables us to do data distribution. So if we have a cluster, if we have a lot more resources, then we can take them and spread them out across the cluster and then take advantage, too, of the parallelization that we get. So again, talking about sort of this mechanism for selecting proper partitions, we take sort of a multi-level indexing approach. At the highest level, we use what are called root-based indices. And root-based indices are essentially are an index which basically stores the attribute values and tells you what partition those values are located in. And we store them for all the different attributes. So for instance, if you need to know what partitions contain destination port 53, you can, I guess, query the root indice, and it will tell you exactly what partitions and prune out those ones that don't, thereby leaving them on disk instead of having to read them off. So that's sort of the mechanism for, again, helping to reduce the disk I/O. Finally, we want to be able to only load the data relevant to the records that are relevant to the query, and so we do this through indexing, which can help to avoid things like scan and filter and parsing of data, which are really sort of the big critical paths in doing this type of analysis. For the flows, again, we used bitmap indices. Again, I'm not going to go into in any great detail, but for the payloads, we took our particular objects and we modeled them as documents, whereby the attributes of the objects point back to the objects themselves to say where they're located. So for instance, if you have something like facebook.com, you would have essentially an index telling you which objects in the partition have Facebook.com in them. And so then when you do that query, you essentially get a bitmap index back that has a list of all those objects. And then you can combine that index that you get from the payloads with any indices that you generate from the flows and do queries across all flow attributes as well as all payload attributes, and can give you quite a powerful query language to be able to do all these sort of different and interesting types of analysis on the data. So just to summarize, sort of going back to the motivating example, we have our analyst, and again, she's looking for this rogue website. So she'll go down into the system will go down to the root indices for looking for the DNS query domain and the destination port, and we'll locate basically all the partitions that contain those attributes. And then from those records, it'll go down into those partitions and return basically the records, or locate the records that satisfy her query, and then they get returned back to her. And so she can do further analysis on top of that. Some of the kind of interesting queries that we can do with this stuff are actually kind of neat. So one of them, for instance, is an index-only query, which basically only accesses the indices to satisfy something. So for instance, if you need to know how many records have destination port 53 or how many records have, you know, baddomain.com, you could do them, and they're very quick because they aren't returning result sets. So this sort of supports that sort of iterative approach to a security analyst to be able to go through and, you know, refine their search and find things that way. We also support regular expressions and wildcard queries to be able to really sort of reduce the number of records to come back, even though if you don't know exactly what you're looking for. And also just sort of the root-based indices themselves can just tell you, have you seen this in the data? So have you seen, you know, this domain, or have you seen this attribute? And the advantage of that is, you know, for instance, if you're doing like any sort of blacklist analysis, you can do them in a few seconds because you're not really, tell you what attributes you've seen without having to go through the whole data set, which can be quite advantageous. So we evaluated our system using two data sets. The first one was a DNS data set on the camp, basically taking all the campus DNS data over a 5-day period. We used this data set because it was quite dense. It had over 325 million records in it. We basically stored all of the attributes for the DNS records in them, and stored them basically in three versions of the data store. One was an uncompressed version, one was a dictionary compressed version, and then the dictionary plus LZO, basically to be able to do a performance analysis of the three modes to see how compression can affect not only the size but also the speed. So most of our analysis sort of in the presentation are all based on this data set, and there are some more stuff in the paper on our second data set, which is sort of the campus DNS and HTTP data set. Unfortunately, this one's a really short one. On campus, we're kind of limited right now in terms of how much data we can collect and store because of privacy issues and things like that. So we're trying to get larger data sets to be able to further explore our techniques. So this one was a 2.5-hour one, and it was basically we used it to try and get a good idea of how a heterogeneous system would work. Number of connections were 11.1 million, and the original trace was over 400 gigs. It compressed down into 12 gigabytes. The reason why this was is that we stored all of the DNS payload attributes, and for the HTTP attributes, we stored all of the HTTP header attributes, but we didn't store the documents. So the documents themselves. And so the advantage of doing that is that you can really sort of create a system whereby, depending on how much, you know, how many resources you have and things like that, you can sort of structure how much of the payload information you want to store down and things like that. So it came out to about 12 gigabytes when we were done. So we took basically, again, data set one for this analysis, and we applied three different types of analysis to, or sorry, three different types of query types to it. First, these are actually, the neat things about these types of queries are these are ones that security analysts actually really use. and doing their analysis and sort of doing the security analysis that I've been doing with the thing, I can certainly say that these are definitely a big and sort of important set. The first one is our heavy hitter queries, and these are types of queries that you would use on a full scale, maybe statistical analysis. That's going to return the majority of the records in the system. This gives you an idea of how slow, for instance, a scan and filter can be, because this basically has to go through and parse everything. And then you have the partition intensive queries, which return a few records from every partition. It might be something if you're looking for something like Facebook.com, whoever has gone to that. So this gives you a good idea of how the indices themselves work in terms of speeding up queries. And finally, we have the needle in a haystack query, which is kind of the prototypical analyst query, where you might have something that you maybe see once, something that's bad, some bad domain or something, and it will only return a few records out of the entire data set. And so this really gives you a good idea of the speed and the power that you can get from using root-level indices for these queries. And so we did our analysis using flow-based both the flow and the payload-based attributes. This year we did on the flow-based attributes, we basically took five queries from each of the different query types and compared them across all three systems, and found that with our approach, we got sub-minute times in all of our queries, even returning 300 million records. This is due to using the column-oriented data store system, which gives us our lower bandwidth I/O, as opposed to Postgres and Silk, which you have to return all of the attributes. As you can see, Silk took the same amount of time all the time because it has to scan every record, whereas Postgres, which was really slow, sped up when you took out less records because it had to do less scanning. So we tried to do also payload-based queries comparison, and we did this with Postgres because Silk only does NetFlow, which doesn't store payload attributes. And our first sort of initial try on this was to set up Postgres in a way that you'd have multiple tables that would store the different payload attributes. Unfortunately, when you try to return 200 to 300 million records and do joins on them in a large relational database, it kind of blows up. So our queries weren't returning at all after waiting around for a couple hours. Our approach doesn't rely on those types of joins with the flexible objects, and so we were able to return 300 million records in 30 minutes. We can see that the partition-intensive queries, because of the indices, really sort of reduce that time down. And then, of course, the needle in a haystack are again, sub-second query times. So then we tried doing an analysis with a single table payload-based query, and basically took a couple of the payload-based attributes and stored them in Postgres without joins, and we found that we're very competitive in terms of the heavy hitter ones. Again, there's the parsing of all those records can be slower. And then the partition-intensive queries, and again, the needle in a haystack queries, we were quicker in both of them. So we did a quick comparison basically our data store system with itself, with the uncompressed version, a dictionary compressed version, and then the dictionary plus LZO to see what the speeds would give. And we did it with the three different query types. So for instance, for heavy hitter queries, we see we're returning over 200 million records in this case. We see that using dictionary compression, we can get a 3-time speed gain over the uncompressed version, and basically return all the records in about 10 minutes. We also note that LZO doesn't add much in terms of performance, but gives us the speed size. And partition intensive queries, we see that we get basically a 3-time speed up over heavy hitter queries, and this is due to the indexes, because we don't have to go and parse as much. And again, we're getting the 3-time speed up using the compression. And then finally, for the needle in haystack queries, we're getting sub-second times with all those types of queries, but the speed's actually inverted, and this is because in LZO we actually have to decompress the block before we can go and grab the record, whereas with the other two, we can just grab the record, so there's overhead. So in summary, we have basically used this framework to do a lot of analysis on various things. Right now, what I've been looking at is finding domain-generated domains or domain-generated algorithms, domains that have been generated essentially by botnets and things like that. And so we've been able to use the system to do that, finding things like the Crydex malware and Configure and all that stuff. Blacklisted domains, again, using index-only queries are really good for doing that in a few seconds. FastFlex analysis allows us to basically find out how many IP addresses are being used by domains and trying to find out, you know, malware systems through that. And then even doing sort of correlations between different protocol types to be able to say, okay, you know, can I take the records that are sort of correlated together, you know, Facebook query, for instance, for HTTP, and sort of correlating them together, because we do queries across different payloads and return them in the same objects. So to summarize some of the results, we got sub-minute flow query times, sub-second needle in a haystack query times, and we found that partition-intensive queries were on the order of a few minutes. And there's sort of a graph in the paper that talks about sort of the linear, we have a sort of slow linear growth over time of the actual data generation itself. So in conclusion, we designed a low bandwidth random access query framework for network traffic, which improved query performance over some of the existing solutions. And just to wrap up with some key takeaways, we found that record level compression provides significant data reduction, and not only that, but improved query performance. We really want to be able to limit object parsing. We found that the payloads, even though they're quicker, we can do a better job of improving performance on them by essentially limiting object parsing, because that can be a huge overhead. Data organization, as we say, is very important for data reduction and performance. And so this is something we really need to focus on if we want to be able to make sort of more interactive tools for network analysis. And multi-level indexing approaches can provide significant query performance through I/O reductions. So I'd be happy to take any questions if anybody has any.
Can you configure on the fly what's stored about the payloads?
You can. The payload objects themselves, you can basically create different versions of them and store them.
Cool.
However you want, yeah.
That would be really useful, yeah. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Keith Winstein. Hi. Have you found that, you know, is it easy to write a program that says, hey, you know, this was my trace from 2 weeks ago and everything was good and now here's a suspect trace, you know, what's interesting about this?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I'm doing a lot of that right now. Just trying to find out what, you know, the changes in traffic patterns, and just you know, being able to do, especially using like wildcard queries on things, and just being able to pull out subsets of the, you know, really tease out you know, portions of the traffic that doing these queries, it really makes a huge difference. Like I gave an example with the DGAs, which is one something I'm working on right now, is just being able to, because some of these DGAs are seen in certain top-level domains. So for instance, like the Russian domain and things like that. And so just be able to go and say, you know, give me all of the, you know, the domains in the Russian domain or something like that at a much smaller level, as opposed to having to pull out, you know, all the attributes is quite, can be quite powerful. And there's lots of other things that you can do with it, especially, I haven't even looked at a lot about how many queries you can just do with the root indices themselves. You know, just saying, have I seen this? It's really powerful.
All right, let's take the speaker.